Today we are speaking to you regarding the case of the Ayoreo Indians in Paraguay. Can you talk to us a little bit more about this tribe?
Well, the Ayoreo Indians live in Bolivia and Paraguay. There's about 5,000 of them spread between the two countries. And originally they were hunter-gatherers. That's to say that they lived in fairly small extended family groups. And each family had a pretty clear territory within a very large area. And they lived in this very dense forest called the Chaco. They grew some crops in the very sandy soil there. And they also hunted the huge variety of wildlife that live in this region. There are anteaters, wild pigs, a deer, all sorts of animals, armadillos. So they would hunt those, they'd get wild honey, and they basically lived extremely well. Of course, their lives today are somewhat different, although there is still some hunting, and they do still grow crops, but they obviously have far more contact with the society around them now.
Yes, you mentioned there that the majority of these Ayoreo Indians have now been contacted by the outside world, if we want to call it or describe it as the outside world, but there are a minority who are still uncontacted.
That's right. I mean, basically, what happened in the Chaco, which is a vast area of scrub forest to the south of the Amazon. So it's not really rainforest. It's more a kind of scrubby forest, very dense, very thick, very abundant wildlife. And because that forest has been so impenetrable until recently, the Ayoreo have been going only in the last 40 or 50 years through the kind of process that was going on in what was called the Wild West of North America, you know, in the 19th century. So over the last 40 or 50 years, gradually outsiders have settled in this area and have cleared the forest to make farms and ranches. And missionaries have also been working there. And so over the last 40 or 50 years, nearly all of the Ayoreo have either come out of the forest by themselves, or they have actually been captured and brought out of the forest. And there are now just a small group of Ayoreo who are still living very much in the forest without wanting to have any contact with outsiders or other people, and they are clearly trying to stay there as long as they can. So even though there's quite a lot of penetration of the forest by ranchers and farmers, and huge amounts of that area have now been completely cleared for farming, there are still some pretty sizable patches of forest left, which is where these uncontacted Ayoreo people live.
And the efforts of Survival International really are to try and keep it very much that way, to try and keep these small patches of forest that are still there at the disposition of the people who have lived in this area for hundreds and hundreds of years. But there is also a problem. According to the press release that arrived in our newsroom recently, Survival International have become aware of the fact that there is a company in particular that are a member of what is known as the UN Global Compact, and who the Ayoreo have contacted the UN and said they cannot be a member of this group, this initiative, because they are actually responsible for the deforestation of our natural habitat. Jonathan, can you explain to us, first of all, what the UN Global Compact is?
Yes, the UN Global Compact is an initiative on the part of the UN to try and get businesses to act responsibly. And it has 10 very straightforward principles, which are to do with things like respect for the environment and respect for human rights, that businesses are supposed to sign up to. And then if they sign up to those and agree to abide by those principles, they can become a member of the Global Compact. It's as simple as that. But what this story has exposed is that basically any business can say they would like to sign up and they're going to adhere to these principles. And the UN basically accepts them and then can then do nothing about it if the company is exposed as having acted illegally, which is the case in this instance, because where the IRO Indians live, although it's a very large area of forest, it's actually nearly all nowadays in private hands, in the hands of big ranching, cattle ranching and farming companies who have bought up the land over the last 20 or 30, 40 years with an eye to making a profit, obviously, of turning this forest into a pasture for cattle or fields for growing crops. And this particular group of IRO who live in Paraguay have been trying for more than 15 years to get protection for just a small part of their original territory. And when they're doing this, they're actually simply trying to get the Paraguayan government to fulfill its own laws, because the law in Paraguay says indigenous people in that country have the right to own their traditional territory. And so the IRO, with the help of lawyers and so on, put in a claim to just a small part of their original territory more than 15 years ago. It's really the heartland of their territory, and it's also where their relatives, who are still uncontacted, are living. And they've been trying ever since then to get this area protected. And so small bits of it have been, but most of it is still owned by ranchers, including this one company called Yaguarete Porá, which was caught out for clearing the forest illegally as a precursor to cattle ranching. And the company was actually charged and fined for this illegal deforestation. And the company has been quite open about what it wants to do, which is basically to completely deforest most of the area of the IRO's land that it holds. And so the IRO and lots of other people like Survival thought this was pretty outrageous, that this company could be so open about its plans, be proven to have been illegally deforesting this area, and yet still proudly proclaim itself to be a member of this UN Global Compact. And so the IRO wrote to the UN and said, This is not on. You should surely not allow this company to say that they're a member of the Global Compact. Surely you should not allow them to be part of this scheme. And the UN have replied simply saying, basically, well, we can't check any of these companies and there's nothing much we can do about it. And the IRO are obviously very disappointed about that.
In substance, in Survival International, what are you calling for? What needs to be done to see greater protection for the IRO Indians and this small parcel of land that they're asking be protected?
Well, there's absolutely no question that unless the forest where these IRO Indians are living is protected, they simply cannot survive, because their survival is absolutely dependent on the continued existence of the forest. There have been so many examples, including from that same area, of where when the forest is destroyed, the IRO Indians are forced out, and very often some at least of them will die from new diseases that they have no immunity to, like the common cold and influenza and these common Western diseases they have no immunity to, and they can be fatal to them. And so it's firstly a question of survival for the IRO people, and it's secondly a question of basic decency. These people have lived in this area since time immemorial. They have the right to go on doing so. They're not asking for very much, simply for this relatively small area of forest where they've always lived to be properly protected. And that's what the IRO and Survival are calling for.